You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Maddening!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey, Bunty. Welcome back. Welcome back to listeners. And I think for our second story today, let's talk a little bit about, this pretty big development. It happened last week, or week before last, Priyanka Gandhi entering politics, which has got a lot of snark from BJP leaders, got a lot of foul-mouthed responses from, people on social media and stuff. But, you know, I think I don't know whether it's going to be a game-changer, etc. There's a journalist who actually spoke to me about what I think, will be the outcome of this for a newspaper out here, India Abroad. But at the very least, I think, Bhatti, it's fair to say that, the right-wing is a little rattled by this.
Look, I think we grew up at a time, where Indira Gandhi got assassinated, then Rajiv Gandhi got assassinated. And for a long time, one of the problems the Congress has is this kind of dynastic politics, right? And it felt for a period of time that neither Rahul Gandhi nor Priyanka Gandhi were interested or capable of carrying the political mantle, right? And so then we had this period of Narasimha Rao and Manmohan Singh, which was kind of a bridging period where there were two very different types of prime ministers, Narasimha Rao and Manmohan Singh, who were not essentially of the Gandhi family. Now, I think, so on the back of the three state government election results that Rahul Gandhi got in the bag, and this appointment of Priyanka Gandhi in East UP, which is kind of been the traditional Gandhi family patch. And when I say patch, I mean that they've regularly represented and been elected from there. The appointment of the sister, Priyanka Gandhi, in that role actually is causing quite a lot of panic amongst people who in themselves... So while on the one hand they'll critique, dynastic politics, when you look at their scorecard, there are like deep set connections and nepotism that got them into political office. I don't want to take single names up because that's not the purpose of this conversation. I think it's a really interesting move by the Congress Party to put Priyanka Gandhi in the center stage in one patch of UP. I think Yogi Adityanath said 0 + 0 will still equal 0, which is that, this is not going to have any difference. I think whether or not this has any difference, only the electorate will tell and the elections will tell. But I think it's very interesting that Congress has played this card because in terms of electoral charisma and campaigning abilities, I think obviously she stands head and shoulder above her mother, who is not the best campaigning creature. And Rahul Gandhi has also been a campaigning creature by proxy. He's had to work really hard to get to the place he's at. And people are, my sense is, people like him as an kind of electoral figurehead, partly through a combination of accident and kind of the sheer level of nonsense that happens in the government these days. But Priyanka Gandhi could actually be a very scary person to campaign against. And there's been some muttering that she should actually rock up and do Varanasi, take on Modi head-to-head. Look, these are all kind of rumor mill, gossip things. My moot point is that we had stepped away, Congress had stepped away from dynasty politics for a large chunk of time, only because the dynasty wasn't ready. I now think that with two people as functioning adults, with their, you know, Priyanka's kids having grown up or being in their late teens, she is stepping in to take on a family mantle. And again, this is a family job. This is how Indian politics happens. And best of luck to her.
Fantastic. I mean, you've raised a lot of very, very interesting points. I just want to start by saying that, you know, the Congress is it's upped its game generally. It's hitting back harder. It's obviously been tremendously energized by, you know, the last round of assembly election victories in the north and west, central India and western India. Now, it's interesting that, you know, the immediate reaction of the sort of BJP leadership and the rank and file Bhakt army was to raise this question of dynastic politics, but the Congress hit right back, and they actually produced statistical figures showing that about 64% of BJP leaders are also dynastic. I mean, Piyush Goyal's father was, you know, in politics. Nirmala Sitharaman, our defense minister, I think her father-in-law and either her father or her husband, you know, she's had like three or four family members who've also been involved in politics. And, you know, the BJP's associates or part of the NDA have also been that. You know, I'm going to mention a couple of things, which is very interesting. That my sense about Rahul Gandhi is that, you know, you're right, that it seemed like his heart wasn't in it. But he's also, you know, when people meet him on a one-to-one basis, generally the feedback has been very positive, whether he's meeting a group of students, whether he's meeting a group of industrialists, whether he's meeting a group of professionals in India or abroad. So my sense is that he's an introvert. That's my sense. I have a feeling that, you know, when you look at Amit Shah and Modi, Shah's a complex creature, deserves at least an episode of his own. But I think that there is no Modi beyond what you see. He is the performance. That's all that there is to him, right? Yeah, he may be scheming, he may be a political animal, one may not be sure, but this is who the man is. He was a loyal servant of the RSS and a, you know, sort of puritanical, almost a kind of zealot-like figure. And then, yeah, you know, he is the guy who likes the clothes. I mean, he's so transparent, right? He's enamored of celebrity. He has that complex. He, like, craves, you know, scraps of attention from them. The theatricality, the self-pity, that is him. With Rahul Gandhi, I get the feeling there's a private side to the person. And it's, you know, it's often quoted as arrogance or indifference. Maybe I've seen it that way too, but my sense is he's a private person. In contrast to that, I will say Priyanka Gandhi comes across as a warm person, right? That she has a natural warmth about her. And I think that is something that, you know, the sharper minds in the BJP have picked up on. And that's what's worrying them. Plus, there are the obvious comparisons and similarities to Indira Gandhi. And, you know, these memories, they stay among people. Like, I know that at some point of time, there was someone who's, you know, who's maid. I remember being at a friend's house, and her maid was, she saw, you know, I think she didn't want to spend some money because it was the 1 rupee coin which had Indira Gandhi's face on it, right? And right. This is years ago, and she said that isme Durga Maa ki shakti hai. Now, the fact of the matter remains that, you know, we can talk about just this for an hour, but if there is still that a large segment of the population who have that kind of memory of her.
Well, I think what the point that you're making, Rohit, is that the Priyanka Gandhi and the Congress as a party in general will benefit from kind of plugging back to kind of leadership with stature, right? Which neither Narasimha Rao or Manmohan Singh, they were not electoral creatures, right? They were like backroom boys who got kind of pivoted into positions of power. They didn't win sweeping election victories. They were not campaign material, right? They were like Pranab Mukherjee plus, right? That's the way you look at them. So I think the point that we are making is that Priyanka Gandhi, by stepping up and doing the campaigning, does that mean the election results will change? We do not know, and probably not, right? But what it means is it signals to a certain section of the UP electorate that there is a dynastic link that the Congress has decided to press the green button on, right? And for good or bad, that only the electorate would tell. And we've just spotted what others have. And, you know, that's why I said best of luck to her.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think the fact that if she chooses UP, it's also a signal to the people of UP that, I mean, imagine that, you know, Nehru's great-granddaughter, right, Indira's granddaughter, has chosen your city or your constituency to fight the elections from, right? So this, again, this historical link with UP, which we know is, in, you know, just sort of numerically, is kind of in some ways the epicenter of Indian politics. I want to pick on two other things. One, you know, is very interestingly that, you know, she's Priyanka Gandhi Vadra, and she'll go by Gandhi, or she's Vadra Gandhi, I don't know. A lot of people, including some real riffraff trolls, are getting very enraged, saying that, oh, you know, how dare she, like, take the name Gandhi, now she's married. Well, my point is, A, it's none of their business. But B, that again tells me that, you know, they can mock the dynasty all they want, but they still, that Gandhi name, which itself, it's interesting that it's the Nehru dynasty, but it also in some ways taps in on the cultural or the political capital and the symbolic capital of Mahatma Gandhi. So that still really, you know, I think worries and alarms them, because that itself can have an effect. And you're right that in the immediate term, 2019 elections, we don't know what will happen. But I think the significance of this may be about, you know, the longer-term future of Indian politics, because ironically, what Modi and Shah are doing is they're mimicking and they're echoing what Indira Gandhi did, which is take a Democrat, take an internally democratic party to, with whatever extent, and create a kind of cult of personality and don't let any other leaders rise up. But, you know, whether it's 10 years, 15 years, Modi's not going to be PM forever. If Shah, I don't think the Indian electorate will, you know, he's even slimier and even more repulsive. So I don't know if, you know, he will, he surely has prime ministerial ambitions, but there's going to be a point of time when these guys are not going to be around. They're eviscerating internal democracy in the BJP. So, you know, when you think from a, from the perspective of Indian politics, Rahul and Priyanka are still pretty young. So I'd like your thoughts on that. And then I have one more thing I want to say, but let's, I want to know what you think about this.
Well, I think you made the biological point, which is like, you know, it doesn't matter how you cut it, these guys will, Modi will fold before Rahul does. He's got time on his side through a combination of ill health or whatever. I think one of the things that I didn't like the Congress as a dynasty-driven party. I didn't like that aspect of the Congress, right? Because it was like Zamindari, right? Hmm. And as I said, the two personalities who took on the mantle of prime ministership who were not from the Congress family, first family, were accidental creatures. They were not election winners, right? Hmm. So my call out on this one is that I think the Congress needs an election winner nationally, a person of stature, and maybe a brother-sister combination from the Gandhi family. Two for the price of one is what will do it, is my sense, you know, that, you know, it's a team, it's a tag team effort to take on people like Modi and Shah. You need a double barrel Gandhi hit. And whether or not the imagination in certain states will swing, I don't know. But definitely in the heartlands of the Bihar, the UP, the MPs, Rajasthan, I think it will make a difference. But to what extent, I'm not sure.
It'll play. So, you know, moving towards wrapping this up, there's one more final point I want to take, which is, you know, which goes beyond the realm of politics. So, in my view, one of the most despicable human beings in any party, who was a friend at some point of time, till about 12 or 15 years ago, he was an advocate of secularism. He's just, I think, a worthless opportunist. I'm not going to mince words here. Terrible person, Subramanian Swami. And he's also a crackpot. You know, I don't like using words like senile. I sometimes lapse into this language myself, and you know, I shouldn't, because you know, senility is a problem that old people face, and I don't think it's anything to be mocked or at. But this he's a crackpot in the sense that he talks a lot of rubbish about the sound of Om can be heard in space and all. NASA has confirmed it. Like, you know, many Hindus and, you know, many South Indian Brahmins, again, if I may generalize a bit, they're sort of prone to a lot of this kind of stuff. But, you know, he had made a bunch of nasty remarks earlier about, you know, Rahul Gandhi being a cocaine addict. And he, the moment Priyanka announced her sort of a formal entry into politics with this position in Congress, the Congress structure in UP, he made the point about her being an alcoholic, dipsomaniac, and he also made the point about her being bipolar. Now, you know, there have been some of these rumors kind of going around, You know, I've heard this from some people. There are also rumors about, you know, the marriage being rocky and in some ways, you know, Vadra and his family being very shady, or the idea that, you know, this is in the realm of rumors. So there are these rumors that this, you know, guy has this kind of sort of psychological hold on her. But, you know, all of that aside, one of the things I want to say is that even with the, you know, chor uchakkas, as they're called, even with the rapists, murderers across parties, I'm not picking on any party, BSP, etc., you know, Samajwadi Party, which had even more criminals than the BJP, no two ways. There was generally a kind of policy that, you know, barring some pot shots here and there, you kept people's kids, right, out of this. So, for instance, you know, Modi had made a remark that, you know, some remark about, I think that there was something about the number 900, whether it was some corruption-related figure or something, I don't know, but Modi had made some remark that can Lalu's kids even count till 900 or something like that. But, you know, then when Lalu's kid, son got married, or Mulayam's son got married, Modi showed up for the wedding also. So, you know, this is India. You know, in the same way that your neighbors, every day the neighbors, you know, facing each other in an apartment complex, they'll be like cursing each other. You know, I will kill you if you take more than half a bucket of water because your family took more. I didn't get much from the tanker. But then, you know, on the wedding, they will all show up and, you know, you call them. So there was that kind of, you know, complex Indian relationship. But this Swami has, you know, sort of gone to a new low. So my point is first that even like these are not deficiencies, you know. People struggle in life. People have difficulties. And why sort of demonize, you know, mental illness? And so to me, this is, you know, again, the fact that something low has happened in Indian political discourse since 2014 I've not seen earlier. Swami represents the worst of it. But again, the fact that they're just throwing everything and they're seeing what sticks is a final point I want to make. But I think that, you know, there's maybe now at the highest levels of Indian politics also, we need to say that, yeah, so what? Maybe someone has bipolar disease or a bipolar disorder. It doesn't mean that they can't be a good politician.
Yeah. Well, look, I don't know much about Subramanian Swamy, so I'm kind of not utterly qualified to kind of. But, you know, I know he's a mean piece of work, and, you know, he says kind of nominally nonsensical things. And at one stage, he was trying to open up investigations that had been closed and, you know, create this aura of there's more to it than meets the eye, that there is smoke, where there is smoke, there is fire. But the problem is, he's all about the smoke. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think there's room in public life for people who say that, you know, if there's smoke, there's fire. But repeatedly, if you're just blowing up smoke from your backside, it just becomes difficult for people to take you seriously. And I think that's what this creature reminds me of. Again, I don't know much about him, but I know that he's a bit of a showboat and partial to kind of doing kind of a Howard Stern number on public life in India. But look. You know, he's just one vote, man. That's all I say.
Perfectly put. Swami is just one vote. And I think that's a fantastic way. That's all his relevance is today. But anyway, we've digressed a bit. And this was not about Swami. This is about Priyanka Gandhi. But be that as it may, it makes the very interesting world of Indian politics even more interesting. So I think, you know, like so many other people, we'll be watching and waiting to see what happens both in the short term and the medium term about this. Okay. Chalo boss, I think we can wrap this up.
Okay. Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.